This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's celebrate something, because this show, the theme of it is going to be the media and how the media is dead. The mainstream media is dead in this country. And that is something to cheer about, to celebrate. And let's just talk really quickly about why that is the case. Why is the media dead? Why? Well, you know how we always talk about stress tests? People have stress tests in their lives. You do, I do. Countries have stress tests. And what we saw repeatedly over the past few years is the United States of America failing stress test after stress test, courtesy of the media. The media would run to the cameras and say things like, COVID's going to kill us all. You're not allowed to bury your mother. Your grandma's going to die if you don't get your 10th booster shot. Trust the science. You remember all the COVID lies, and the American people, not all of us, of course, probably not you, but the American people as a whole fell for it. Well, okay, I better wear a mask on. Well, stand 6 feet away from me. The American people fell for it. And the media has done this time after time after time after time. The Trump-Russian collusion lies, the St. George Floyd lies, where they all ran to the camera and somehow promoted the very, very false narrative that black people are being hunted down and slaughtered en masse in this country by rampaging police officers. And the country failed then too. Well, okay, I mean, I guess we don't need laws. We should let everyone out of jail. Failure after failure after failure. But there was something else happening while we were failing. You see, the point of stress tests often is to figure out what you need to improve on. If I decide to put myself through a hard run, I'm going to go run a mile when I get home, as fast as I can possibly do it. And I get done running that mile, and I'm sucking wind. I feel like I'm about to pass out. I check my stopwatch, and I did the mile in about 20 minutes. Well, yes, that's a failure. That's not good. It's failing a stress test. But what else is happening there? I failed. I failed miserably. I'm also learning. Wow, I got to get back in shape. This isn't good enough. I'm fat. I'm out of shape. I better improve. The United States of America, after enduring lie after lie after lie, slowly but surely decided to improve. And what is that improvement? They decided to reject the media. They decided that the things they see when they turn on NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, when they sit down and turn on these channels, the things they see are not bias. They don't lean left. They're looking at outright lies. And on the flip side, that's our side. On the flip side, you see, they got cocky because of the stress test, you see. They thought, hey, what if we tell them a nasty chest cold is going to kill a million people? I wonder if they'll believe it. I wonder, can we get them to wear two masks? And they did it, and we did. And they got cocky. And they did stress test after stress test, and they kept being able to create this world of make-believe. And they kept getting cocky, and soon they convinced themselves they could do this with anything. And they tried so hard this election. Do you remember when Joe Biden, a week before the election, surprise, surprise, put his foot in his mouth and he said this?
Just the other day, a speaker at his rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know the Puerto Rican that I know, or Puerto Rico where I'm in my home state of Delaware. They're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Okay, so we all watched the video of it. Kind of interesting. Now, the media, we watched the video, remember? The media scrambling, knowing that would damage Kamala Harris's chances at winning the election. They actually went to the TV, they went to their microphones, and they tried to tell you what you just saw didn't happen.
Now, the White House says that Biden wasn't talking about Trump's supporters.
They even released a transcript last night where they inserted an apostrophe in the word supporters.
There's an apostrophe there. He's talking about his supporter, meaning the comedian, his comments.
As someone who had a stutter growing up, it's very obvious to me that there's an apostrophe at the end of supporters there. He was referring to the garbage spewed by supporters, not simply the supporters themselves.
So the question is, John said, of an apostrophe, really.
It's a nothing burger.
Joe Biden has never been a big arena speaker.
We are at a low point when it comes to our political rhetoric. And I think we should point out that that's been driven largely by the last 8+ years of former President Trump.
They just lie to your face. Because they think they can, because they've always been able to do it, and it's worked, and it didn't work this time. And it was fascinating. There's a wonderful clip on CNN when they're talking about X, which used to be Twitter. It's a social media thing. Maybe you're already on it. But they're talking about X and the American people and their trust in it. And you can almost see it dawn on both of their faces as they're describing what happened. What they're describing is the American people are changing the channel, and they're getting their news elsewhere.
This really gets at it. Look at this. The party ID among those who regularly use X/Twitter for news. Back in 2022, 65% of those who regularly use Twitter/X for news were Democrats. Just 31% were Republicans. Look at where we are today. Just a completely different picture. Now it's basically split between Democrats at 48%, Republicans at 47%. And what I should note, Mr. Berman, is this now, this new overall makeup matches the overall electorate far better.
The American people failed some stress tests and they decided to get back in shape. The mainstream media is dying and it's beautiful. All that hopefully made you very comfortable. And I am right, and we have an amazing show for you. Hang on. Remember what we were talking about before the election, how this was going to be a real reveal. It was going to be a real stress test for the country. And the stress test, as we described then, was this. The Kamala Harris campaign lied about everything. They lied about every position she took or she wouldn't take positions. They're paying musicians to do concerts. It was just fake. It was the most fake thing I'd ever seen. And the media was doing their standard Trump's Hitler, domes great. And what we said was, it's going to be a stress test to see if the American people can now believe anything. That if the system just decides on whatever, that they can convince enough people and they'll believe it. And we passed the stress test. We've failed many in recent years, but we passed this one. Is this going to cause real change in the media? Let's talk to Steve about this. Joining me now, author of the book Uncovered and executive producer of The Megyn Kelly Show, my friend Steve Krakauer. Steve, you wrote a piece shortly after the election talking about how the American people rejected the media. What were we saying?
Yeah, what an encouraging sign of just how little power our gatekeepers that once had this level of power, I call them zombie elites. These people that had some degree of status and influence at some point, the Washington Posts, the CNNs, the CBS Newses, and now they're just wandering around still thinking that they're elites, not realizing that their power is dead. They are not trusted. And yes, we saw a wholesale rejection of this idea that Trump is this fascistic dictator figure. We saw the rejection of really all of the hyperbole, the hysteria that we saw. The American public, not just one particular group, but pretty much every single demographic, men and women, black, white, every other you know, possible, young and old, left, right, and center in terms of the geography of the country. The biggest shift we saw in places like California and New York and New Jersey and Illinois, rural and urban, massive rejection of the gatekeepers. And first and foremost there, the corporate media, which has totally failed us for so long. And now large percentages of the public see it, which is great.
Steve, the public's rejection of the media is obvious, but the why is always the thing. And obviously, there's no simple answer, and there's no one thing. It was not one thing, but If you had to point to one or two of the biggest things where the public finally figured out, wait a minute, and I'm not sure if he is a Nazi, wait a minute, that's probably a lie. What were the things that really drained the last of the media's credibility in this country?
Yeah, I think there were a few major touch points. I think that the first one, which is always looming over these last 4 years, is COVID. I mean, the absolute failure, not just by the media, but by the scientific elite, by our government elite, that was a real big one because it affected people in a very visceral way. And they felt it and they continue to feel it. It's almost, they don't even want to talk about it. They're so pissed off about the people that were in power. So I do think that that's a big one. But if we just look at 2024 and how this year played out, I would point to a few things. First of all, it is lawfare. What was a massive failure on the part of the government establishment, by the FBI and the DOJ, and by the media that tried to spin us that there was any real there. It was completely rejected. And the only trial that we saw was that complete sham in New York City, that everyone who paid any little bit of attention just saw that as a complete failure. Two other things. The switch. The going from Biden, the telling us that Biden's okay, to, oh, actually, he's, this totally cognitive decline, and then just snap your fingers and all of a sudden Kamala's the nominee with no one voting for them. I think that had a huge effect that I don't think anyone really paid attention to on the left and within the establishment. And then the third one, I think, was the assassination attempt, which came right after that, where this is would have been in any objective, fair analysis by a media apparatus, the biggest story of people's lifetimes. It still is. I hope that when the Trump administration takes in there, we can actually get to the bottom of what happened that day. This is an enormous story that we watched play out. There's great video. All reasons are there. And they buried that thing because it was bad for them politically. And I think people paid attention to that and said, wow, first of all, amazing that he got up there and shouted fight, fight, fight. That was a huge moment for, politically and culturally. But also, why are these people not covering this huge story? They must not be real good faith actors.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Steve, Trump did a ton of independent media. Now I realize Megyn Kelly's not exactly independent because she's freaking a company unto herself, but he did Megyn Kelly. He was on every single podcast that was out there, ones that, my dad, God rest his soul, would never have heard of before, but Trump's doing them all. He's sitting down with Theo Vaughn. We now find out he's going to be credentialing a lot of these online influencers, it's such a dumb word, to sit in the press briefing room. Is this contributing to the end of the mainstream media? People were they've moved on. They've been lied to so much. They don't turn on NBC at night to get the headlines anymore.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Because it's not just that these people are, now they're on podcasts and on YouTube and that they once were in traditional outlets. It's a totally different reframing of how media and how news and information is consumed. There's an intimacy to podcasts and YouTube. And it's not, you look at Joe Rogan, obviously, but a lot has been made of Trump's appearance on Rogan, which I thought he did extremely well on, and obviously eventually led to a Joe Rogan endorsement in that last final day before the election, which, who knows? I think that it had certainly some effect on it. But Joe Rogan doesn't call what he does an interview. He calls it a conversation. You got to see Donald Trump in a way that you don't normally see it. It felt personal and authentic. Now, we know Kamala Harris couldn't do it. She didn't choose not to do it because she is not able to be authentic. There is no Kamala Harris that is there. In fact, if anything, she almost thrived in more contentious settings. She was better on Fox News with Bret Baier than she was with Stephen Colbert. I mean, because she just cannot be herself. But when you have someone like Donald Trump who knows how to be themselves, he can go on Andrew Schultz like a comedian. He can go on Theo Vaughn, on Joe Rogan, and he can move the needle because, yes, that is how people in all walks of life, particularly young people, particularly young men, but all people now are starting to adapt to this new way of consuming information that is very different. And the gatekeepers, the old establishment, the crusty old, legacy press, they just aren't relevant anymore.
Steve, is it a location problem for some of these people? I've long had this theory. I mean, it sounds a little bit ham-fisted, but where you live actually matters. And if you live, work, and worship in Washington, D.C. or New York City or one of these blue areas, and you live that ivory tower kind of life, great job, great college, great all this and that, that you have no idea how out of touch you are. You have no idea how normal Americans view you, and you end up talking down to them. Is that a problem for a lot of these people?
Oh, I think it's the biggest problem. You know, Jesse, you and I are in Texas, but I was someone who for most of my life, until about 10 years ago, lived in New York and New Jersey and was part of these same, you know, New York newsrooms. And it took me getting out of that to really open my eyes to what I was missing. And frankly, I think geographic bias is a much more pernicious bias than political bias. A lot of these media outlets lean left, and you can lean left and try to be fair, but if you're someone who does not anchor your life in a reality that most of America actually lives in, which I think you want to talk about missing the story, people miss the story that we're not as divided as they were trying to make us out to be. Donald Trump, there is no... One of the things that people get wrong is that people think that you either love Donald Trump or you hate Donald Trump. There's a lot of people that love Donald Trump. There's a lot of people that hate Donald Trump. But there's a lot of people that just have mixed feelings about him, don't really spend their life thinking about him. Those people decided in 2024 to vote for him in large numbers, and that blew the corporate media's mind, the people that spend their life in green rooms in D.C. and in New York who have no idea that there are people like that out there. So yes, I think that they are totally missing the story about what's actually happening on the ground, not just in politics, but in culture, in how people just live their daily lives by just being so isolated in their own little bubbles.
Steve, MSNBC, we're going to sell it. CNN, we're going to lay off a bunch of top talent. Now, a lot of people are convincing themselves that this is going to be some sort of a right-wing shift, a move to the center shift. But these organizations have all tried this stuff before, and the revolt from the communists inside the building is so bad it fails every time. Why is this time going to be any different?
I really don't think it is. I was, after 2016, Jesse, I put together a little proposal and I said, you know, I'm going to call in all my favors. I went to CNN, the bosses there, and CBS and ABC, even Fox News, which, you know, spends a lot of their time up in New York as well. And I said, people miss the story. Donald Trump won and no one thought he could. Let's kind of, you know, maybe have some interest in learning about why that happened. And there was a little bit of interest. You know, if you watch those channels, there was maybe 3 months where they said, oh, let's talk to some Trump voters and figure out why they supported him. And then within 3 months, it was gone. So what happens this time? Maybe there's 4 or 5 months, maybe 6 months. They're going to go right back to it. These people are incapable of actually having introspection and humility, being humble. If you are not able to be humble, you will never be able to adjust and change for the better, I would say, but change it all. You're just going to continue doing what you're doing and continue to be failing, which is what we've seen them do. So no, I am not hopeful that they will make those sort of necessary adjustments to regain the kind of trust that has completely eroded over these last 8 to 10 years. But you know, they're going to talk a good game for a couple months, and then they're going to go right back to not just hating Donald Trump, but hating half the country, more than half the country, that ended up voting for him.
You know, that's why I stay so humble. Steve, thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate you, as always. We'll be back. You know, we talk about the mainstream media and how they've done us wrong and sold us out. Automatically, what pops into your head? CNN's probably a big one. NBC, ABC, that, and all that stuff's fair. Don't get me wrong, they're very, very evil. But we don't really talk enough about the leftward lurch of Fox News. And I'm not here to indict everybody at Fox News. I still have friends who are hosts at Fox News. But the organization itself, they are moving left. And they're moving left quickly. And there's a lot behind that. Somebody who knows a little bit about that is joining us now, my friend, host of the Brianna Morello Show, Brianna Morello. Brianna, you didn't always have the Brianna Morello Show at one point in time. In fact, when we met, you worked at Fox News. Why aren't you there anymore?
Well, isn't that interesting, Jesse? Yeah, we met actually when I was working at Fox. And then all of a sudden, I was kind of forced out of the company because I refused to get the COVID jab. And so off I went. But it's not really a surprise. I was working there in 2018, 2019, left for a few years to work somewhere else. And then I came back, and the person who was bringing me on board was working for Human Resources, actually had their pronouns in their email signature. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. It doesn't seem like the place you'd work at if you wanted to include your pronouns. And then before I knew it, wasn't that that was strange. That was the new norm. And I was the one who was now the, like, a strange one for even questioning that stuff. So Fox has completely shifted. Remember when I first came out and started talking about it, people were like, well, Tucker's there. And then as soon as Tucker was axed, people were like, wait, Brianna, something might be going on over at Fox News. And it was true. There was a lot going on over at Fox.
There was a lot going on over there at Fox. And yes, this is kind of one of those things that you and I kind of, we would know about before everyone else did. The Tucker thing was the big tidal wave that woke everybody up. But I've tried to explain to people when friends of mine ask me, hey, what's going on? What's going on? There's new management at the top. The Fox News of today is not the Fox News of 1995 you used to watch. And that Fox News is gone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, I when I first started there, it was easy for me to poke around and kind of have just discussions with the top executives over at Fox. They were very welcoming and they were very excited to talk to someone who was entry level, just beginning off my career. And then it got kind of weird. Those executives, those producers that I once knew weren't there anymore. And the ones that were remaining were very quiet about their political beliefs. And I didn't understand it. Like, for an example, when I got the email in regards to the vaccine issue, I called an executive up and I had a conversation with him on the phone. And I just naturally started crying because I always wanted to work for Fox. And I knew that this was the red line that was going to get me tossed because I knew in my head I wasn't going to apply by filing an exemption or, you know, just kind of going along with it and being put on paid leave. I was going to go out and fight. And so I was really upset that I knew this was my way out. And one of the executives was trying to, well, I agree with you, Brianna. I agree with you, Brianna. But if you want to work here, we all have to do it. He's like, I'm unvaccinated. He's like, and we're just going to deal with it. And those are the people who are still there. They're the ones who just kind of comply and don't really speak up for themselves. And anyone else who does speak up for themselves is gone. I mean, I was friendly with a lot of individuals over at Fox who did leave. They left quietly because they're like, well, we might want a job down the line. We might want to return. And so they thought it was safe just to kind of be quiet about it and leave quietly. I don't think that's the best way to handle it. And it's also worth noting, too, there was a FOIA request that was done by The Blaze a couple of years ago. And it added all of the big outlets that took money from HHS to push the vaccines onto the American people. Now, we don't know the exact dollar amount, but over $100 million was advocated through legislation to go to the media. But ultimately, Fox was on that list of media outlets that took that money to promote the jabs. And I've reported it constantly. I mean, I was there when certain interviews were edited where if you criticized the vaccines or told people, maybe just hold up for getting it because you don't know the long-term effects of all of this, you actually got that interview either completely, if it was a pre-tape, deleted, or that little clip was cut out. Peter Navarro was the victim of that when we had him on one of the shows that I booked for. And so just time and time again, it was just a reminder that this wasn't the company that I agreed to work for.
Ah, freaking sucks. Okay, well, now you have a show. In fact, people can watch you right here on The First. How did you get a show? Walk us through this whole journey.
Well, it's been quite interesting, right? So I've been going through the process of doing my own digging and doing my own stories. And I just figured, why not just do this every single day? That would be fun, right? So we started this show. It's a one-hour show every single day. And it's also featured on The First TV on the weekends at 7 p.m. Eastern time on Saturdays. We kick it off. And it's great. It's got all these people who were kind enough that I've known through my Fox years. They're joining me. We have all these discussions. I even do exclusive stories, you know. I was the reporter who broke that story about Tulsi Gabbard being added to a terror watch list. Heads up, Fox News had that story before I did. They refused to run it. They didn't run it before I did. And I know this because they verified it with my sources. And they just decided not to run it. So that's the reason why people tune into shows like mine, because we don't censor things. I publish everything that I've made aware of that I could prove is real. And the corporate media refuses to do that. So that's the alternative that you have these days. You have the independent world where we're not afraid to publish the truth. And then you have the corporate media world. So that's the reason why you guys want to tune in every single day at 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Is that why people are tuning out? Is that why they've moved on from this mainstream media thing? The numbers are amazing.
Isn't it crazy? I think 1,000%. right? We're listening to the incoming administration say that they're going to be open to giving podcasters and influencers potentially press credentials to cover the White House. And I think it's because they see the value in all of this. You know, if we just had the corporate media coverage on President Trump, he wouldn't have made his way back into the White House. I think Americans are tuning out the cable world. They know the cable world is garbage. They lie. They continue to lie. You know, I was just listening to ABC News talk about Lakeland Riley and the conviction that just came in for the illegal alien who did murder Lakeland Riley. And they made it seem political. They actually pinned it against President Donald Trump, saying that President Trump is the reason why there's so much toxic coverage on all this situation rather than the people who let him in. I think Americans see things like that. They've had enough. They're tapping out. They're turning to independent outlets to tell them the truth. And that's exactly what the rest of us are doing.
Brianna, Elon Musk, I'm very standoffish with really everybody, especially politicians and billionaires and celebrities. I'm a cynic by nature, as you know. And so I don't worship anybody.
Yeah.
But I'm impressed at this point in time. I was very, very cautious, and I'm still cautious. But at this point, how do we not acknowledge that his purchase of Twitter, which he then called X, which is still weird, but his purchase of Twitter and giving people a platform there, it has been huge. He has been great for free speech.
It really has been. I mean, as an independent journalist, I am making great money from X, and I'm very thankful for that. I mean, if it wasn't for Elon Musk, I'd be very limited with the platforms I could broadcast on, because as many of you guys know at home, places like YouTube and other platforms do censor and do axe people who are covering certain topics that are controversial. So the fact that Elon Musk purchased Twitter and is coming out saying, you know, I'm going to allow these independent journalists to do whatever they want to do, cover whatever they want to do, and I'm not stepping in, is really, really important. You know, we are in a fight between good and evil. And if this latest election doesn't highlight that, I don't know what else will for the American people. I mean, we need all of the superheroes we could get right now. Elon Musk has become the right George Soros, and he's funding things that are really, really important. It's not even that he's political at this point. He's a common sense kind of person, and it has somehow made him a popular figure on the right. And it's strange, but I think it's what's waking up so many people, because Elon Musk, keep in mind, used to actually donate to the ACLU. And he was a big donor for them. Now, all of a sudden, he's woken up to realize the ACLU doesn't actually support what it pretends to support. And he's fighting and he's putting his own money where his mouth is. The purchase of Twitter was actually massive. And I don't know if we understand that fully yet. But I don't think if Elon Musk didn't purchase Twitter and didn't push for free speech like he did, if President Trump would have gotten his way back into the White House.
How do we handle our responsibility going forward? I'll tell you, I try to be extremely careful about things. I've made a mistake here and there, but not running with things that I can't verify are true. I get the impression we should be careful with the power we've been given now, because just like the mainstream media, people will move on if we abuse it.
Yeah. Well, I constantly will not publish a story if I cannot prove it to be factually true. There's a lot of defamation lawsuits that you have to be cautious of, but you also don't want to discredit yourself. As independent journalists, your income usually comes directly from your audience, and so you don't want to abuse that trust, because once you do, they could just pull all their money and then you'd have nothing. You wouldn't have a job. And I think that's really important for folks to understand. So I'm constantly calling people, asking the uncomfortable questions and vetting things. I get tips all the time. A lot of those tips, I would say about probably 80% of them don't really hold much in the way of truth, or you can't verify them, so you can't run them. And you can't be afraid to do that. There's a lot of ways to verify tips, and I've learned that throughout my career as a journalist. But for those of you at home, there's a lot of people also, and I don't support all independent journalists, because some of them aren't actual journalists. They don't vet things. They'll hear something and then they'll publish it online as if it's factually true. I don't do that because I fear being sued for defamation. That's a massive, massive legal fight to take up. And so you have to be cautious. So I think the rest of us should be okay with not publishing everything that we hear or see at first, because you don't want to be on the wrong side of things. But making phone calls, reaching out to both parties for comment is the best way to avoid any of that. Because once you give both sides the opportunity to tell you if it's true or false, you could kind of make your own way from that. And that's what I've always done. So I think that's really, really important for folks to understand. Follow journalists who actually reach out for comment.
I've got a tip for you and everybody else, although you don't have to reach out for comment. The pepperoni puffs at Little Caesars are unbelievable. It's one of the best kept secrets in the country right now, and I highly, highly recommend you try them today. Today, if you can, Brianna.
Well, RFK might shut it down soon. I'm pretty sure Little Caesars isn't probably the best for us. And so everyone should go out there and grab them now. I'm a big fan of their stuffed crust pizza. There's something in there. It might be crack, but there's something in it.
Gosh, it's so freaking good. Now I'm starving. I'm going to let you go. I need to go eat. Brianna Morello, host of the Brianna Morello Show. Thank you. I need to go eat some pepperoni puffs, and then we'll talk to Matthew Peterson from The Blaze next. We have incredible options today, and I love that. The mainstream media hates it, but you, me, we have options on things we watch, things we can listen to, and while I love The First, I'm a fan of others too, big fan. Daily Wire does incredible stuff. The Blaze, I just love The Blaze. I'm so impressed by the things they do at The Blaze. And in fact, I want to talk to Matthew Peterson about that. He is the editor-in-chief of The Blaze. Matthew, you guys have something kind of big going on right now, and it looks freaking cool. The man in me is already in love with it, but I'm going to hand it to you. I'll let you make the pitch for it.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, we're in this unique environment right now where everyone's realizing what a lot of us have said for years, which is that there's really no value left anymore in mainstream media. On the other hand, as good as these new outfits are, like what you're doing, like what Daily Wire is doing, like what we're doing, look, what we're doing is good because it's new and we're trying to do something different, not because we're doing the same thing the right has done, which has generally sucked for a long time, as we all know. So I don't know how many times, I'm just so excited to be part of this. I'm lucky. I don't know how many times I've talked to people over the last 20 years, really, about creating a conservative, you know, a right-leaning or just non-Borg magazine and that just did all the things. It had profiles, talked about not politics, but like life. What's going on out there, right? Interesting, descriptive stuff that's not just someone pontificating, no op-eds, no white papers, right? But just really interesting content that grabs you and in a beautiful format. And so we created Frontier. And, you know, after the election, we're all living in a new frontier. I couldn't be pleased that we started before then. And this is the kind of thing that you can pick up and read. And, you know, I did an interview with Glenn Beck in this, for instance, and not Glenn Beck, the media figure, you know, but Glenn Beck, the guy who spends a lot of time saving American artifacts, right, and is very concerned with American history and what he does with that. Matt Taibbi wrote for us about what it was like to walk into Elon's, office and go into the Twitter offices and create the Twitter files with Barry Weiss and Michael Schellenberger. You have reviews of whiskey, restaurants. The kind of normal stuff that just represents a holistic vision of media. And so, this is a work in progress, but 0 to 1, we got this out of the bag, and I think it hits the mark, and I think if you check it out, you'll agree.
Yeah, I haven't gotten my hands on a physical copy of one yet, and I'm going to freaking nerd out on it. I like it. I'm a magazine guy, Matthew. Maybe I'm an old school guy. I'm a magazine guy. I dig it. I'm totally in on it. Anyway.
You're coming back.
All right, so let's... What's that?
They're coming back. People want the physical thing again.
Yeah. They are. You know, physical books are coming back, too. I don't know why we're going off on this, but now that we're on it, I'm on it, too. I used to be, and I still am when I travel, a Kindle guy, right? Because you have all your stuff right there. But me and my sons, you know, my boys are 15 and 16. My sons prefer physical books now. I don't know what that is. Maybe there's something... caveman and all of us. I don't know what that is, but I like having a physical copy of something.
Yeah, I think there's a snapback or a correction to go back, not to get rid of everything digital, but to grab onto things that are meaningful and physical. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the rise of the independent media, and more specifically, let's talk about the rejection of the mainstream media, because it was this last election, honestly, as much as anything, it was a rejection of the media that told everybody Trump's Hitler forever, over and over and over again, and then he goes out and wins the popular vote. What that is the American people saying, we don't believe you anymore. But what was it? And I know it was a series of things over a long period of time, but If you had to point to one or two things that were the thing where the American people finally were all, you know, I'm not listening anymore, what was it?
So I would actually go back to the start, because I think we can talk about the end, but I think the beginning, right, is when they really dug themselves a hole. I would go right back to the Russian collusion narrative from the very beginning, because they grabbed onto that and did not let go. That was the first big thing. Of course, they've been lying about stuff for decades. When it came for Trump, something was different. And they grabbed on to this lie that came from the government and major institutions and Obama and friends on the way out. And they did not let go. And I remember thinking at the time, you know, it's almost as if they have this spear and they're coming to, you know, just spear Trump with it. And he grabs it and they won't let go of it. So he uses the fact they won't let go of it to turn it around and drive it through them. And he's done this repeatedly. This has happened to them repeatedly. They grabbed onto collusion. They wouldn't let it go. They were unrepentant. And then when you go through COVID, of course, you know, that's an enormous one that still people are bleeding off of that one, where they spout a bunch of ridiculous stuff for political reasons, won't let go. People's lives are impacted. I don't think there was a tipping point of these things. I think it started with them just going in a 100% way, no backsies, no back down against Trump. And those compounded over time. And then I think what actually popped the balloon, Jesse, was when you saw what happened to the guy on that fateful day this summer, right? When people just saw the visuals of the assassination attempt and him stand up and what his initial response was. And there was something visceral about that moment that just stuck with people. You know, they saw this media lying to them over time, or they started to become more unsure of it. And then you see the guy and what he did in a world historical moment that can't be faked. And I think it was over at that point.
Matthew, when we talk about how the media won't back off, like you just mentioned, how they don't back off, they just keep going. If something's false, they keep going. The lack of humility I find fascinating, and obviously I'm not going to pretend like I'm a humble person. Nobody watching thinks that at all, so I'm not going to act like I'm some fount of humility here. But I've had several things that I've screwed up in my life and periods of my life that I've bottomed out, and they've been my fault, and I've been able to look at myself in the mirror and say, man, that's on you. You gotta get it cleaned up. You're drinking too much. You're not working out. You're doing these things. No one in the media can do that. Nobody in the media can look in the mirror and say, hey, maybe the lie is without end. Maybe we should back off that no one can.
No, you're right. They can't, because you know, the rest of us can look in the mirror and self-reflect. And these people, maybe some of them as individuals can, but it's because their job, right? Their job is not to tell the truth. You know how I knew that Biden was going to have to step aside? Because the New York Times came out and said so, not because the New York Times is so powerful, but because they would never speak truth to actual power. They would never get out in front of power. That's not their job. Their job is to be the mouthpiece for power. So you knew when they came out and said Biden should step down, it wasn't a brave stand. There was a powerful force that was behind this, and they were the mouthpiece of it. So they're mouthpieces. They're like PR. They're like salesmen. They're paid to go out and say what they're going to say. And it's almost degrading to the human person. You know, and Tucker talks about this. He's right. To actually have to do this every day and get paid to lie is just a disgraceful thing. And I'm sure some of these people are like tortured. Some of them are beyond, you know, they don't even care anymore. But it's not their job, right, to be humble, because they're not wrong. In their mind, their job is to go out and say what they're supposed to say. And at this point, it's so obvious, right? It's bad PR. It's bad sales. And that's why it's not working.
Matthew, I want to go back to something you were talking about Glenn Beck and his preservation of history. It's funny, the last time I actually sat down with Glenn, he had to pause our interview for a couple minutes because he was doing exactly that. It was a painting, something to do with Washington. I forget exactly what it was, but he was emphatic that he had to buy this to save it. And you actually recently sat down with him and talked about how the people who write history don't always do so accurately. Talk about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, just first off, in case anyone's been living under a rock, right? I mean, they need to realize that this is what we've done in our schools for a long time. We have sold a version of history in which we lie about ourselves. It's one of the most bizarre things you can imagine in human civilization. But we've lied about ourselves, saying that we are bad, we are intrinsically evil in some way as a nation. We've done that systematically. I mean, Howard Zinn's history books, his commie history books, were selling like hotcakes decades ago, and that influenced the entire nation. So what you have now is, you know, precisely what we've seen in the last couple of years. This comes to fruition where people actually want to rip down physical manifestations of American history and heroes. They want to take statues down and melt them down and destroy the physical right remnants of our actual history. And I think what Glenn recognizes and really has pointed out to me in ways that I've really learned from is just how story is so important, right, to memory and to describe who you are now in the present. And the story for in history comes from actual physical artifacts, right? You know, the actual copy of the Federalist Papers you can touch, or George Washington's compass, which he has at the museum. And what they want to do is get rid of that, so they really put it in the memory hole. And, you know, he tells a story that about one of the bells of the Santa Maria, and at an auction, a guy tries to buy it, and the seller, he wins the auction, and he tries to actually take possession of the bell. And the guy selling it says, "What are you doing with this?" He said, "Oh, I'm going to melt it down because it represents colonialism, and I'm going to melt it down and put him in some postmodern, you know, architecture." And the guy refused to sell it to him. I mean, they're going back to erase it. So saving it, right, means saving actual physical things, representations of the past that tell our story. And you know, I think this is a really noble thing that Glenn is doing here that more people should know about.
Yeah, I do too. I should note, I don't want to brag, I've actually held that compass. I stood right there with Glenn and I held George Washington's compass, and it was sick. It's one of the coolest things ever. All right, Matthew, one more time. I want you to tell us, Frontier Magazine, how do I get my hands on it?
You want to go to theblaze.com/frontier, theblaze/frontier. If you get there, you're going to find a few articles are free, but most of them, you know, won't be released to the public. It's a print only sort of thing. If you're a subscriber, you can also see it on digital, but we're not releasing all those articles to everyone. This is this very special, thick quarterly that you can put on your coffee table, and everyone will know that you and it are awesome.
Oh, I dig it. I'm so in. Matthew, thank you, brother. I appreciate you. All right, we have final thoughts next. Now, let's finish this with some final thoughts on the mainstream media, because you and I actually still have a role to play here. The mainstream media is not dead. It is dying, as we just talked about. We laid out all the reasons, but it is not dead yet. And so there may be opportunities for you to help them out, or I should say, to not hurt them anymore. Maybe your brother comes over and he says something about something he saw on CNN. It is important for you and I to keep up the pressure and make sure every person in the United States of America knows CNN is an evil news network that lies about everything. So tell your brother that. Essentially, the mainstream media, they're in the middle of the pool and they're drowning and they're asking for help. Every single chance you get, toss them a cinder block to ensure they sink to the bottom of the pool. It could not possibly happen to a more evil entity than the American media. I've watched the American media and the things they've done. I've watched it kill people in this country. I've watched them cause race riots. I've watched them lie after lie after lie. Don't have an ounce of sympathy for these people. Finish them off. Change the channel and tell your liberal Aunt Peggy everything she believes is a lie. All right? All right. We'll do it again.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.